Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Good morning. Please be seated. I don't think I need to add any more to Jeremy's introduction other than I'm a sinner saved by grace and grace alone. And I have the unique privilege of sharing God's word with you today. For those who are interested in Connect 2, I invite you now to go ahead and make your way towards the back of the auditorium here and join Lee, who will be leading that class. I want to extend a special welcome to our guests here today, including folks that were a part of my church 15 plus years ago. It means a lot to me that you are here to witness God's grace, His goodness, His glory. Yes. Thank you. So you might be wondering, why 15 years since you last preached a message? I'll tell you why. I've been practicing up until 5 years ago. Well, not practicing. You'll probably see that here shortly. But I've been practicing hangnail Christianity. Hangnail Christianity. And that's one word, hangnail. You know hangnail, it's unsightly, it's sore, it hurts, it's red, it's inconvenient. I hit a point in my life 10, 15 years ago where following the Lord just became too hard. It was unsightly, it was inconvenient. My expectations for what it meant to go into full-time ministry was destroyed. And so my faith, so I thought, was destroyed. But Jesus tells us that even when we are faithless, He is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. The Holy Spirit living in me resurrected a dead heart 5 years ago. And I want to just thank Jason Peters, who's not here. He spent a lot of years with me, along with support from our other pastors here, Jeremy and Lee, to get me to a place where I could appreciate what Jesus did for me on the cross. And what He did for me on the cross was not altered or diminished in any way by my lack of faith or my actions. It's by grace that I was saved, and when I gave my life to Jesus, I was raised a new life, and that new life is His life. I have a new identity. So I practiced hangnail Christianity when I should have been practicing hangnail Christianity, hanging on to the nails that Jesus was pierced with on the cross. And that's what I want to share with you today, that some of you here today don't know the same Jesus I know, or you think you know Him because you gather together in a religious function like this, or maybe you've heard some great Christian speakers, or maybe you come from a family that's Christian. The Bible is pretty clear that you have to make a personal decision for Jesus yourself. We'll see here that the nation of Israel rejected Jesus over and over and over again. The very God who rescued them from Egypt, that provided for them in the desert, that made grandiose promises of a kingdom to come, did not believe. But we have a promise in God's word that there is a remnant from Israel that will be resurrected. They will come to know the Lord, the very Lord and Savior that they crucified on the cross. So this morning, I've been given the task of preaching Luke chapter 13. And the chapter is repent or die. How that's not an easy introduction back into preaching, you know? You're probably thinking I'm going to preach fire and brimstone, and I'm not. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to speak with you today, and I'm going to keep my voice at a reasonable level. Though I want you to go to the same place that I'm going. There is a banquet among banquets that I don't want to miss. It's the feast in heaven that is going to happen someday. The Bible tells us that you will be surprised if you see your beloved family members, or Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, all the great men and women of the faith feasting in heaven with Jesus, and you're on the outside looking in. You will see family. You will see relatives. You will see me. And you won't be able to get in because you did not make a personal confession or profession of faith. You did not place your hope in Jesus. So the warning is repent or die. That sounds like bad news, but it's good news. Isn't it good when you know what the outcome is going to be if you follow a certain trajectory, right? Here's the end. If you work your way back to today, you can make informed decisions on how to have a better outcome than what is projected, or to realize the outcome that is right before you. The outcome I'm projecting or suggesting that you and I should strive for is eternity in heaven, where there is no weeping, no sorrow, no pain, no death, no sin. Does that sound good? Okay. Repent or die. So that's really the good news. You know what you need to do to live forever. And that is the good news. Believe and live forever. Believe. So here's the reality. In this room, whether we like to acknowledge this or not, here's the reality. Are you with me? The reality is this. There are those who are on the fast track to eternal destruction in this room. Well, how can that be? I'm at church. We'll unpack that in a minute. The second type of person in this room this morning, those walking the road to eternal glory. So we have a wide road to destruction. We have a narrow path to eternal glory. And there's those just hanging around Jesus. Just hanging around, thinking that's what it takes to earn God's favor, to have sins forgiven, to live eternally. Just hanging out. There's a lot of Christians that just hang out, whether they're on this side of eternity or that side. In other words, they're hanging near the cross. They think they're saved because they're near a religious institution. They're checking the boxes. I didn't do this today. I didn't do that. I'm doing better in this area of my life. Check box religion does not get you through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's by faith and faith alone. But some of you have gone through the gate, the narrow gate of Christianity or faith, and you're camped out here. And that's what I did for 15 years. I got through, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I sat down right here. Content just to be a spectator, just to observe other people doing religious things. I was not in the game. For over 15 years, I just took care of myself. And let me tell you, as a Christian, the most joy you will ever receive is serving other people, laying down your life for the betterment of other people, advancing the gospel. I was all about me. But today, I'd like to think that if you were all polled that know me, including my wife and my family and my son, you'd say that he's all about Jesus. I'm not perfect by any means. I'm not perfect. But there's people hanging around Jesus thinking that is life, eternal life, the abundant life, and that's not where it's at. We're going to see here, Jesus showed us the way to joy, to blessing, to eternity. He spared nothing to offer you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven and to spend eternity with God our Father in heaven. If that doesn't excite you, then you know what? You are on the road to destruction by choice. You know, perhaps this is your anthem. If I had a guitar, if I was Angus Young or one of the other AC/DC members, you know, I could probably get you all up and dancing. And whether you want to hear this or not, this is reality, folks. Bon Scott, lead singer of AC/DC, sings these lyrics, and again, you probably have danced to this song a million times. You may even know the lyrics. Living easy, living free. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down party time. My friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. Woo-hoo. I'm on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell. Now, you might be thinking that's extreme and that there's no way you ever have been on that highway to hell. Let me tell you, that is so far from biblical gospel truth. The Bible is very clear that you and I were born sinners. We were born on the highway to hell, the wide road to hell. We were all born on that. We did not have the capacity to love God. Our hearts were dead to God and alive to sin. That was our destination. We deserved every bit of that highway that we were on. For some of us, that highway is a lot of fun. Woo-hoo! Right? Let me tell you, here in the scriptures, it says this, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who find themselves in hell. Now, this is a feel-good message. It is, because I'm offering you today the key to avoiding the highway to hell. So you see, we can't cast judgment on AC/DC. We can't cast judgment on our neighbors, our family, our friends. All we can do is pray for them and share the word with them. Share our faith, because you at one time were on that road. It took a supernatural breakthrough of your sin and your dead heart to even contemplate and consider a relationship with Jesus. Let me say that again. It's by grace, undeserved favor, and unmatched power in God's ability to break through the sin and the pain and the darkness of your life so that you might respond. Now, Jesus came that you might believe and that you might be saved. It's not a given. We see this in the scriptures. Israel rejected the king. Scripture is also telling us that we here have rejected the king a number of times. But the king, King Jesus, is in his rightful place, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he is mediating on our behalf for us Christians. How powerful is that? Someone who died and 3 days later was rose again, right? The only person in the history of the world to do that. And he's seated up there praying for the believers. Now it's up to the believers to pray for our unforgiven, unbelieving friends and neighbors. And that's where sitting on the sidelines of Christianity is not where the Lord intended you to be. Now I've unpacked a lot here, and the Lord is going to have his way this morning. But I just want to stop and look at, again at those who are on the fast track to eternal destruction. Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. This isn't me saying there's a lot of people going to hell. This is Jesus saying this. The road is wide. The gate is narrow. Let me ask you this. You know how narrow that gate is? Any idea how narrow the gate is that Jesus is referring to? It's about this narrow right here. He was nailed to the cross. He was God who became flesh. He healed. He cast out demons. He healed the lame. He restored sight to the blind. Over and over again, Israel saw the kingdom of God right there in front of them, and they chose to crucify him. But you know what? Jesus knew the whole time that that was going to happen. So I'm going to read to you the main passage of our little time together. It's Luke 13, 22 through 30. It's called The Narrow Way. He went through one town and village after another, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem. He was on the offensive, folks. He wasn't fleeing the enemy. He wasn't concerned about his well-being. He was on the offensive, teaching, moving towards Israel or towards Jerusalem. Israel is in Jerusalem. I guess I was right when I said that. Israel or Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel will be the capital of Jerusalem. See, I've been out of sync now for 15 years. So I hope you can extend some grace. Lord, someone asked him, are only a few people going to be saved? Now, what kind of question is that? And that's the kind of question we ask ourselves all the time, too. We're more concerned about other people and their position, right? Good, bad, or ugly, than we are ourselves. They witness the glory of the Lord, yet he's more concerned about, you know, what's the number? You said, you know, it's going to be a few. Make every effort, he goes on to say. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Every effort. If I look at that word, every effort, it means to agonize, to strain. It's to work to the point of maybe exhaustion. Christianity is not about saying a prayer and getting through the narrow door so you can sit down. It's a lifestyle. If the very Jesus that was nailed to the cross offered you eternal life, wouldn't you want to reciprocate and lay down your life for him as well? Again, I'm guilty of that. Hang nail Christianity instead of hanging on to the nails of Jesus. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then you will stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up for us. Israel is like, Lord, open up. Don't you know that Abraham, Isaac, they're all our forefathers? By birthright, we should be in heaven too. Because Israel is God's favored nation, the nation he chose to bestow all of his glory and power amongst so that others, us, namely, would see the glory of the Lord, rejected Jesus, they feel like they're entitled to forgiveness of sins and eternity in heaven. I think in America, we're entitled too, aren't we? We feel entitled. I'm an American. Once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then you will stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up for us. He will answer you, I don't know you or where you are from. Now, in 1997, my dear friend Bill Thurston over here discipled me. How long ago was that? 28 years? That's a long time. We had little kids. In 1997, right before I met Bill, this is the honest to God truth. I've been saved since 10 years of age, but I live for myself. I made a lot of mistakes. Just ask my wife. Made a lot of mistakes. I was living for myself, for my own good times, for my own form or fame and fortune. I made much about me and not Jesus. And one day we had, in 1997, a brand new house. Brand new two-story house in Cedar Park. It was awesome. And I go to the front door to get the newspaper on a Saturday morning, which is customary. While everybody's sleeping, I get a cup of coffee and I get my newspaper. And I go to open the door up to get the newspaper, and I hear this. Get away from me, Mark. I don't know you. As I'm opening the door up, God is speaking to me saying, I don't know you. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't know me? I go to church. At that time, I really wasn't going. But as a kid, I went to church. How about this? In the early 70s or late 70s, I earned the coveted Timothy Award from Awana. How many know about Awana? Okay. I was trained as a young kid how to memorize Scripture. I memorized so much Scripture, I won this award that only a few percentage of kids ever earn. And I was hanging my hat on that. Oh, surely you know me, Jesus. I memorized your Bible. So, 1997, God began to speak to me in a way that only God could. He was warning me, as I'm warning you here today, that there's so much more to Christianity than ignoring the very one who saved you. So I had a little argument with Jesus, said, you know me, I'm an American, I'm white. I'm not saying that you have to be white or a different color to be a Christian. This is my argument with God. I live in a two-story house in Cedar Park. I don't beat my wife, I don't beat my children, I'm a good provider. And he says, get away from me, I do not know you. So then Bill and I linked arms together and we began to pursue this faith together, and amazing things happened through our relationship, both together and in the Word, as we began to lead men's ministries and see men's lives changed. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says here, when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourself thrown out. They will come from the east, the west, the north, and the south to share the banquet in the kingdom of God. But note this, some who are first will be last, and some that are last will be first. And I know I got that reversed, but the meaning is the same. Israel felt entitled. We feel entitled because we're good people. We live in Lakeway because we live in Austin, one of the best places in the country to live. Sometimes we think that we're deserving of God's favor because we haven't done certain things, or we do certain things. I give blood, or whatever it might be. You know, let me tell you, folks, it all hinges on one fact. You must place your faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith should be transformed into a life that's transformed, and everyone around you knows that you have been with the risen King. I'm not sure where to go from here. I mean, it's all about Jesus. and I've made his name known. But I do want to share a couple things here with you. We just talked about those that are on the road to destruction. That's where you were born. You were born on that road. And thanks be to Jesus, you hopefully are walking on the road to eternal glory. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me repeat that. No one gets to heaven except through Jesus. Mark 8, if anyone wants to follow after me, this is for those who are walking the road to eternal glory. You are well on your way to joining Jesus when he returns or when you take your last breath. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Now, for those who are on the road to destruction, we're playing religious games, you might be thinking, I want to preserve my life. I don't want to give it up. I want to hang on to it. It's all about me. Let me tell you this. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth, and we don't come to church to hear about hell, do we? But it's a reality. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life because of the gospel will save it. Like I said, I spent 15 years on the sidelines making much about me and not much about Jesus. And I must tell you that it's by grace that I'm here today. It's not because I'm a good speaker. Not because I have a leg up on doctrine or that, you know, I have tattoos and I'm on display to show you that anybody can get saved, even tattooed people. Let me tell you, these are the worst of my scars right here. I'm here because I love Jesus. He's real. And if I had time, I would unpack all the ways he has rescued me from self-destruction and from hurting other people. Am I perfect? No. I see a number of men in here that are part of our men's Bible study, and you know where I'm heading with this. We are imperfect people, made perfect by the perfection of Jesus. When we placed our faith in him, his righteousness was transferred to us, to me. That is my new identity. Romans tells us that when we placed our faith in Christ, guess what? Our old life was buried, raised to newness of life, and we take on his identity. you don't know this probably. We all die twice. Did you know that? There are two deaths that we experience. There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. For those on the road to destruction, you're already dying a slow spiritual death. And someday it'll reach its maximum death quotient, if you will, when you're in hell. For those that have been rescued from that wide road of destruction, here's what happens. We die spiritually. Our old life is dead, buried, never to be resurrected again, and we're given a new life. So it's all about the order. If you don't die spiritually first and then physically, you're in a bad place. Because if you die physically first, now you have to reckon with dying a second time spiritually, and you present before the throne of God a wicked heart, a soul, a spirit that is disgusting. And the Bible says that even our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. In other words, nothing can be in God's presence unless it's perfect and holy. And that's the need for Jesus' blood to wash over us. It's all about the order in which you die. Now, it's all about the relationship after you place your faith in Jesus. Those hanging around Jesus. Let me just talk shortly, briefly about that. Scripture says this, you know, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then you will stand outside and knock on the door, and the Lord's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. Now, you might find this to be amusing or maybe a good illustration. Shark Tank. Who loves Shark Tank? Who doesn't love Shark Tank? Sometimes I feel like I'm a disciple of Shark Tank. I watch every episode. Damon John, and who's the funny bald guy? I shouldn't, come on. Mr. Wonderful. Kevin, Damon John. I feel like a disciple. I mean, I take a lot of their practical, you know, best practice suggestions or applications. I try to take them into my workplace where I work. I watch every episode. I'm hanging on every word they say. In fact, I went to a conference a couple years ago, and guess what? I got to sit in the presence of Damon John as he spoke to us. He was the keynote speaker. So I ate in the presence of Damon John. I drank in the presence of Damon John. I've watched every episode of Damon John being on Shark Tank. I subscribe to his Twitter and his Instagram pages or channels. I'm a disciple of Damon John. Now, if I went to Damon John's locker room or his green room, they call it, in entertainment world, and I knocked on the door, do you think that he would let me in because I know of him and because I sat in his presence and because I ate and I drank in his presence? No, he's not going to open up that door. You might find this amusing. I love music. And I went to a concert one time to see one of my favorite bands, and I touched his leg. It was awesome. I got the set list from the stage. I have every album, every song, every import. I had every T-shirt. I know all the history of this band. And guess what? After the concert, I went to the tour bus. I'm thinking, surely he's going to let me in. Doesn't he know who I am? I was in the front row just now. No. They shut the curtains and probably called security on me. They don't know me. And this is what Jesus is saying here. You're going to say, well, I ate and I drank in your presence. I went to church. I read a devotional one time. He's going to say, get away from me, you evildoer. I don't know you. You know why you're an evildoer just like I am? Before I had my sins forgiven and been cleansed and made right in God's sight? Because we're all unholy. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who you know, where you go, who you hang out with, is no indication of where you're going to end up when you go to the grave. But there's a guarantee if you know Jesus, because he gives us his Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing us that we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. Do you have that deposit? Romans 8:16 says this, that the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of God, testifies with our spirit that we're his children. God wants you to know if you're his child. He wants you to know that you've been set free. It's a personal relationship, folks. It's really personal to the point where you hear God. You knock on the door to get the newspaper, and he's giving you a warning, saying things aren't right in your life. Maybe he's doing that here this morning. Maybe you're one of these three. You're either on the road to glory, and you know that. You didn't enter through that narrow gate. Right? Jesus on the cross? You didn't enter that narrow gate just to sit down. And maybe you did. Maybe you got back up like me and you took a few more steps and then you sat back down. Glory is through those doors. That's where heaven resides. If you all want to turn around and see, this is where heaven is, through these double doors. Can you picture it? Jesus is back there. There's a feast. And let me tell you this, that door swings one way. Right now it's open for anyone that will come and say, yes, I want that. But guess what? Once you get through, you're in. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose it. But for those of you that are still hanging around the gate of salvation, the cross of Jesus, it is a little confusing. You have questions. Am I saved or not? God wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his child. And when you know you're his child, you walk in that identity. And when you walk in the identity of the risen king, you become Jesus to a world that desperately needs to see him in the flesh. As the band makes its way forward here. And I want you to know, folks, I had 4 months to practice. I have lots of notes here. And I didn't use them, except for a couple of points. So whatever I said here today was because the Lord pressed it upon my heart to say what I said. So I'm making no apologies for repent or perish. I'm not even going to make apologies for my inadequate delivery of biblical truth. I hope you'll see that the heart of God behind this message, He loves you. He went from town, to city, preaching the word. He was promising that He would come back and He would send the Holy Spirit that would be our helper, our guide, our deposit, inheritance, showing us that we have a place at that banquet table. You have that assurance today. I want you to know that Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. Whether you're on this side of the gate, the narrow door, if you're on the wide road to destruction, or if you've gone through the narrow gate and you've stalled out, there's a place for all of us to repent. And let me tell you this, repent isn't doing something different, necessarily. It's on the backside of the same coin of, I'm going to think about this differently. Repentance means to change your mind. So maybe you've been thinking, following Jesus, that's not worth it. I'm praying that you'll change your mind. Maybe you flat out rejected what Jesus did on the cross. I'm praying that you will think about this through the lens of biblical truth. Think of all the thousands of people that have gone before you that said yes to Jesus, died for Jesus. It's real. He's worth dying for. Repentance means changing your perspective. Maybe you're like me and you've been practicing hangnail Christianity. Lord, you're not worth it. I just want to get into heaven. You're inconvenient. I'm sore. It's unsightly being a Christian. Maybe today you need to say, you know what? I'm getting back on that path. I want to live for your glory. You're an namesake. Enough about me. I want to make much about Him. Maybe you're here today and that's where you're at.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.